Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, available for home delivery. Go to pwtorch.com/papercopy for details on becoming a subscriber to the longest-running episodic pro wrestling newsletter based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, since 1987. All right, we have the 900th episode of SmackDown tonight. And no better time to bring in as co-host of the SmackDown post-show here at PW Torch Livecast than longtime SmackDown TV correspondent for PWTorch.com than Greg Parks. And he'll be joining me in just a moment to talk about tonight's episode, which featured the return of Undertaker, who kind of made it sound like he said, I won't be defined by WrestleMania anymore, and almost seemed to indicate he was back for more than just WrestleMania. If that's really what's happening, that's pretty big news. Also, we had Edge come back, looking like Daryl Hall was lost in the mountains for a month and found, didn't pack a razor, did a nice job hosting the segment, the show closing segment that led to Undertaker coming out. So give us a call. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Bayley participating in a gang style stump fest beatdown of fellow babyface Nikki Bella for the sake of Team Red and other ridiculousness on this program, including JBL trying to pronounce Zubaz. So yeah, give us a call. 515-605-9345. That is, again, 515-605-9345. Very curious what all of you think about tonight's program. The last chance for WWE on a large scale to hype Survivor Series. So let's bring, I think Greg is just finishing up his report right now for PWTorch.com. I'm not seeing him show up on the switchboard yet. So let's why don't we just go ahead and as we wait for Greg, let's take our first phone call. Let's see who gets to be first. Who gets the honor of being first on today's program? How about we go to area code 914? Let's do that. 914, thanks for calling. You are the first on today's program. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Jordan, New Rochelle, New York.
Hey, Jordan, thanks for calling. What have you got for us today, or me so far?
Hey, what's up, Wade? I thought this was a pretty good 900th episode, but what I wanted to talk about was how they're portraying all the superstars in these matches. Like you were saying, Bayley gang-stomping Nikki Bella. I was like, what is going on? Are we seeing a darker side of Bayley or something like that? I feel like all morals, everything people stand for is going out the window. Like, yeah, you did see hesitation from Carmella to help Nikki, but I thought it was really weird that they had Bayley stomping out basically Nikki. And also, just if I could touch on Raw from last night, I loved the last segment, but my thing was they had, I don't know if you noticed, but Owens kind of threw down the world title onto the ground, which I didn't really care for since I think it's more prestigious than the red belt on Raw. Did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think that throwing any title belt to the ground matters. I talked this weekend about Conor McGregor, or that it's never good. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. I talked about Conor McGregor this weekend in USC elevating championship title belts to mean so much because he could barely compose himself after he won the biggest fight of his career because he wanted both title belts to celebrate with and show off. So just in a general sense, I don't think there's ever any excuse to do anything other than treat the championship title like it you have to treat it like it represents everything that it does. A whole career of hard work and the honor of, just like Jordan, you have the honor of being the first caller, and you cherish that. A champion who has spent his whole professional life trying to get to the point that he can be recognized as worthy of a championship should act like that. I always liked how Ric Flair handed the NWA championship belt to the referee before the bell rang for his title defenses in the 1980s. And he looked at that title like he was handing over a newborn baby for the first time to somebody else to take care of. And he didn't know if he would see it again. I like that level of gravity and prestige given to a belt. And so anything that falls short of that, or if it falls short of that, then the announcer should make a big deal out of it and talk about how disrespectful that is. But yeah, and the Bailey beatdown is to me overshadowing almost everything else on this show. Not because in and of itself it does like tremendous damage to everything, but it is the most glaring symptom or symbol of what is so messed up about this Survivor Series hype. I cannot wait until Monday for this all to be over. It has blown up everything that makes sense in WWE booking. If it worked, I'd say, okay, they're paying a price, but ultimately, hey, it's leading to something short-term and long-term gain. I just think the short-term gain is so minor compared to the long-term damage being done. And I know they're trying to, you know, soften it up by having AJ say, maybe I won't be a team player. And they're trying to give a reason for an incentive for people or an incentive for the wrestlers in the tag match to work together, because Undertaker said, if you don't, you know, you'll have to deal with him. And I mean, that's good to, you know, strike some fear into the wrestlers other than, you know, yay red and team blue. Like, professional wrestlers would care about that. I mean, they wouldn't. There's just no reason to expect that they would care about it. So anyway, I went off track a little bit there, but the Bailey thing bothered me most of all.
Yeah, that was crazy. And if I could make two more quick points.
Yep.
I thought I don't know if you really noticed it, but the theme music they have for Survivor Series, I think it would be more appropriate if, I don't know if you remember the theme song for Battleground, but it was basically saying, this is the war and who are you fighting for? I think this theme song really does not make a lot of sense, like towards like the theme of everything. And also, last week, what we were discussing on the show is, what booking would I do for the Intercontinental Championship at Survivor Series? And I think Sammy, I think they could have a triple threat at Survivor Series and have Dolph get the title back since he was cheated, or they could have Sammy win it. But at the same time, why do you need the Intercontinental or United States Championship?
Why do you need the I guess I don't quite understand the question. Help me out a little bit. Why do you need the championship?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, like I guess my question is, do you see them going that route, like a triple threat?
Lay out the scenario for me again. I'm sorry if I'm just missing out what your point is.
I was saying I think Ziggler should get in on the match at Survivor Series, since knowing Daniel Bryan, I'm not watching Talking Smack, but I'm sure he's probably going to mention it. And since Ziggler did get cheated, they'll probably add him into the match and make it like a triple threat. If they do you see him getting the title back, or possibly Zayn getting it?
Okay, I got confused because I thought you said something about the U.S. title being in the mix, and I wasn't quite sure how we got to that. Okay. God, I hope not. I mean, I don't. I mean, yes, I'm just, because sort of on general principle, I'm against multi-person matches. I think one-on-one matches are better 999 out of 1,000 times. And I think three-way matches are a crutch that just confuses the natural dynamic of rooting for, you know, one wrestler over the other. And then you end up with either two heels splitting the heat, or two baby faces splitting the cheers, or fans having to pick between two of their favorite flavors when they just not have to make that choice. So, I'm against that on a number of levels. As Brian told Alexa Bliss, the referee's decision is final and you'll get your title rematch later. I think it would be inconsistent. Not that that would be something WWE would have a big problem with, but that would be very inconsistent to them to then suddenly, you know, decide, because it was a botched finish of some sort, that that now we have to make it a triple threat, because he made pretty clear that doesn't matter.
Yeah. And what did you think on the theme song for Survivor Series?
Oh, that's right. You know, I hadn't, I mean, I sort of in passing liked it, but I didn't really think about it as much as you did. So I guess I don't really have a strong opinion on it. If we can figure out what line Greg is calling on, maybe he has an opinion on it, but we're still having trouble.
I just thought it was, like you said, them always trying to, like with the Miley Cyrus references and just like the teenage girls and stuff like that. I thought having the Weeknd, like the song False Alarm, it made no sense. It's catchy, but there are so many other songs out there that go along with the theme. It's like, it's like Hell in a Cell and you have like a Taylor Swift song or something like that, if that makes sense.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess the tone of it doesn't fit, but I mean, I think it probably has more to do with what record label they were working with and had an album they wanted to promote than try to fit the theme.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Jordan, good start to the show. Thanks for calling. And sorry, I misunderstood
you so much
earlier there a minute ago. Cool. That's Jordan from New Rochelle, New York. This is PW Torch Livecast. We should be joined momentarily by SmackDown PW Torch reporter Greg Parks. We're going to take our first break of the program. And when we come back, hopefully Greg Parks will be joining me for more conversation. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we are back. This is the PW Torch livecast, SmackDown postgame edition on Tuesday, November 15th, 2016. Tomorrow on the midweek flagship, Raj Giri from Wrestling Inc. joins me. First time co-hosting with me on the PW Torch livecast flagship show. We'll talk big picture pro wrestling, including Survivor Series, NXT TakeOver, Raw, SmackDown, probably Flow Slam, the Joey Styles firing. By the way, I have an editorial up at pwtorch.com right now on the Joey Styles situation and controversy. So check that out among other exclusive stories you should be checking out every day at pwtorch.com and much more. And I hope that you will give us a call, especially if calling fits your schedule better at 1 Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time than it does on our Monday and Tuesday late evening editions of this program. We always love to hear from first-time callers, and you can give us a call tomorrow starting at 1 Eastern, and in that one-hour block, we'll be taking a bunch of calls, and we hope that you will consider joining the caller list. Greg Parks now joins me. We've got the switchboard figured out. Greg, you got a chance to hear what I had to say about this show. Are you giving a thumbs up or thumbs down or mixed reviews to the final push on SmackDown for Survivor Series?
I would say mixed reviews, and I'm with you on the argument about Bayley being a part of the Raw women attacking Nikki Bella in a 5 or 6-on-1 situation. And even more than that, it's the whole idea of not just Bayley, but you've got other baby faces. Sasha Banks is in there too, that's attacking Nikki Bella because she's...
Greg, I learned on Instagram that Sasha and Charlotte are still pelsy-welsy.
Well, that's a whole other wrench to be thrown into the situation as well. Yeah. But just from the SmackDown point of view, you know, it's kind of, you know, and I mentioned in my report too, you've got Carmella, who is in not just a normal feud, but she's in the blood feud. She's said some very mean-spirited things to Nikki Bella. This has been a heated feud now going on for multiple months. And she sees her enemy, Nikki Bella, getting beaten down 5-on-1. So what does she do? She jumps in to help. And it's like you're killing the feud here between these two that they've spent so long to build up. And, you know, for a secondary women's feud, it's actually not that bad. And they're killing it because of this misidentified SmackDown versus Raw idea that there's some sort of loyalty to the SmackDown brand just because you were almost randomly chosen onto that brand. by Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. So it's not just the Bayley thing. It's everything else underneath it that kind of collapses under the weight of this SmackDown versus Raw idea for the elimination matches.
Very well put, and yet another good example of what is completely messed up about this Survivor Series hype. I can't wait for it to be over so we can go back to complaining about the normal things that we complain about instead of these even more hideous things that are happening that undercut every... I mean, it's hard. I mean, I had to wake up to a photograph of Renee Young, Stephanie McMahon, and Bray Wyatt all posing in a silly, goofy way together and having, you know, a laugh together that somebody posted on Instagram. I don't know. My brain explodes when I see that kind of thing and how counterproductive it is. But even more so symptomatic of the problems in terms of how they approach trying to create some sense of wonderment, some sense of mystery to the characters. But then you have this. I mean, Randy Orton coming out because he and Bray are supporting a certain colored T-shirt. I mean, it's so dumb. It's just so stupid. It's hard to even express how stupid and dumb this is. And not just stupid and dumb to watch, but counterproductive to everything else that they're going to try to do starting on Monday. I don't know. Anyway, we got a lot of calls, so let's go back to our callers. 515-605-9345 is the number if you want to join the program and participate with your thoughts and your views. Let's go next to 317. 317, you are up next. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, this is Jack from Indianapolis.
Jack from Indianapolis?
Yeah, Jack.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, go ahead, Jack. Or did you say Jake or Jack? Oh. I keep mishearing you.
Jack, J-A-C-K.
Cool. That's what I thought the first time. Then I doubted myself. Go ahead, Jack. What have you got for us?
Well, I'm just wondering, with us having babyface authority figures on SmackDown, when a finish like that happens tonight in the Miz match, I mean, with Daniel Bryan, if we look at what the narrative of what a babyface is supposed to be, wouldn't Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon come out and reverse the decision to keep the match going?
Yes, although Daniel Bryan told Alexa Bliss in the program that referees' decisions are finals, replays don't count, and you'll get a rematch. So are we more for Daniel Bryan doing things the right way on occasion when it suits a babyface but not a heel? Because then he would be criticized for picking and choosing when the referee's decision isn't final. So they're in a bit of a conundrum. Greg, your thoughts?
This is a tough one because I feel like if Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon or whomever is watching this and the heels clearly cheat to win, or Alexa Bliss kind of gets screwed out of her title by the ref missing the foot on the rope, there should be some mechanism to restart. Now, Bryan said she'd get a rematch, which I suppose is a nice consolation prize. But the problem is WWE relies so heavily and so often on the heel cheating to win that you'd be restarting two out of every four matches on SmackDown and Raw every week if you did that. So, you know, the idea of replay in WWE, even though it adds drama and adds another talking point to most sports, the NBA, NFL, even Major League Baseball now, the idea of it happening in WWE would be somewhat of a logistical nightmare, or it would challenge creative and Vince McMahon to come up with some different finishes besides the old heel using the ropes for leverage or rolling up using the tights on a roll-up or something like that.
Yeah, good point. Jack, anything else?
Yeah, I was wondering if you got a chance to watch the State of the WWE Universe address last night, because it seemed like some legitimate tension at times between both of them, and I thought it was really compelling TV. So I was wondering if you saw it and what are your thoughts on it, if you did.
I was hoping to avoid it, and enough people have asked me about it that I am going to watch it. I have not yet. I might watch it in time for tomorrow's episode of the live cast. Greg, I got to find out if you had a chance to see it.
I haven't seen it yet either, although, you know, with talking smack and everything like that, these shows are beginning to be filled with more drama than the actual shows that they're supposed to be talking about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard enough about it that, you know, I mean, we saw the Miz, Daniel Bryan stuff that felt like, you know, they went places that you wouldn't normally expect them to go on TV. That's been the approach that they've taken with these types of panel shows.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that feelings don't get hurt. You know, I mean, Rock and John Cena agreed to not have any rules and go after each other. And I think some feelings got hurt. But, you know, Rock didn't want to be the guy who showed up and said, hey, remember what I said about I can take care of myself, say whatever you want, as long as I can fire back. You're hurting my feelings, so let's change the rules on that. Of course, you can never say that. But obviously, you know, yeah, I mean, Cena had a sharp knife and took it to Rock, who was a little rusty at times. Rock was phenomenal at other times, too. But, there, you know, the notes on the wrist and that kind of thing felt like something that, you know, was not in everyone's best interest to point out, but Cena did. I think that's what's happening now is they've been told, you know, I hate to use this analogy, but well, you know, take out the knives, you know, go after each other. Mm-hmm. I don't think it serves a greater narrative purpose. And I think WWE is lost in that regard. I think their narrative is broken. They don't really know with all this new media, social media, streaming, talk shows, and the main programs. I think they think they're serving three different audiences and three different masters, and it's a mess, Greg.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think they know the kind of audience that's going to tune into those shows on the network. And just, you know, based on the buzz that the Miz Daniel Bryan stuff got, which was so big that they ended up bringing it to the main roster and making that a talking point and making that part of the storyline going forward from that point. I think they kind of thought, well, we may have something here if we can get fans to tune in to the network after these shows. So, you know, I think that was kind of the jump off point, and they realized that they had something, and they did kind of, you know, take the leash off a little bit of these guys and let them go at it a little more. And I think it's turned into buzzworthy shows, certainly.
All right, we're going to go to our next caller on the program. Thank you, Jack. We'll go next to Dustin in Texas. Dustin, where in Texas are you?
I'm actually in Homestead, Florida. So.
Oh, you're in Florida. Oh, well, never mind that. We're in Florida.
Yeah, well, I'm down there. I have some stuff going on this weekend down there, so.
No, but where? What city? I always like to know the city. Florida's a big place.
Homestead, Florida.
Oh, Homestead is actually the city. I thought you were just saying that's your Homestead. Gotcha. God, I'm so easily confused tonight. And I felt like you just didn't want to reveal your whereabouts. And for a second there, I was thinking, you're being kind of vague. What's going on, Dustin? But anyway, go ahead.
Maybe there's a reason for that.
We don't need to get into it.
Yeah, well, SmackDown was a good show tonight. I enjoyed it, but I don't get it. They're going well overboard with these both teams going at it for Survivor Series, really, and then I just kind of knew it when I saw Charlotte go down through the arena and have a show where she has a ticket, and then all of a sudden, Nikki decides to punch Charlotte, and then that's what started it, and I'm like, oh, great, and then the end Raw, SmackDown, to see Undertaker back, that was awesome. I'm glad to see him back. So what does this mean? He's going to be on SmackDown every week now?
Well, I wanted to get Greg's thought on that. What do you think, Greg, based on the way he phrased that?
I didn't get that sense that he's going to be back full time or anything
what does
close
the quote
to
mean?
That.
What does a quote mean? I won't let WrestleMania define myself anymore, and then followed up with some
and
comments.
I thought, yeah, I thought that was the most interesting line of the promo, actually, and I don't really know what that means. They were kind of vague about that because he just kind of threw that line in there. And right after that, he jumped to, you know, I debuted at the Survivor Series. So that was kind of close to home for him. They never really expanded on what he meant by that. I don't know if he meant that he wanted to be defined by, you know, being a SmackDown superstar, since that's why he was out there. You know, he was kind of the conscience of SmackDown out there, reading the Riot Act to these guys who are representing the brand that he helped build. So that was kind of my impression of it. But yeah, that was certainly, I thought, from his promo, that was the most intriguing line.
And I guess when he said, if you don't represent Team SmackDown well, in other words, stick together as a team, at least for this one night, you'll have to deal with me. That also kind of indicates, you know, I'm going to be around, but I agree with you. You could also look at that line of, I won't let WrestleMania define me because I'm a SmackDown guy. If that's what he meant by that, he wasn't specific enough in his wording to rule out, yeah, I think, people speculating and maybe being let down if he's not back on a more regular basis. So, yeah, I'm curious about it. I hadn't heard that he was going to be back on a regular basis. I don't think that was going around unless I missed it. So, interesting. Yeah. Anything? It looks like. Put Dustin. Oh yeah, Dustin, you're still there. What else have you got for
us? Yeah, I'm here.
Yep.
Well, I just want to get your opinion on how long you think it will be before Randy Orton decides that him being in the Wyatt family is not best. And there's rumors of possibly Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt at the next pay-per-view for SmackDown or TLC in a casket match. And I just want to get your opinion on that.
Greg, has Randy Orton done anything so dastardly now that it would be ridiculous for him to act like he was just pretending all along? I mean, I guess attacking Kane may or may not be enough, but this idea that Randy's just infiltrating Bray, the Wyatt family, to lull them into a false sense of security is not a good storyline if along the way to convince Bray, Randy does some horrible, heinous things.
Yeah, everybody's attacked Kane during their WWE tenure, so I think he's got to do a little more than that to convince me that he's on par with the Wyatts. I could see a turn as soon as the Survivor Series. I mean, really, I don't think this is, and you know, we talked about this the last time I was on here, Wade. I don't think this is a long-term thing for Orton to be in the Wyatt family. And like you said, he hasn't done anything to where he can't go back and say, hey, I fooled you. There's not going to be fans saying, wait a minute, if you were fooling Wyatt the whole time, why did you do this and this and this? He hasn't done any of that yet. So I think there's certainly opportunity for him to, use this as sort of an undercover way to get inside the head of Bray Wyatt and ultimately win the mind games with Wyatt, which is what he had set out to do before he did the "if you can't beat him, join him" speech.
I understand that. I think that it would be better for Randy to try to fool Bray for a longer period of time before turning, for the sake of Bray, because if Randy turns on Bray this quickly, I think it hurts the Bray character, not as much as a stupid Instagram post with Stephanie and Renee puckering up his lips and acting all goofy, but I think it hurts the Bray character in as much as that matters anymore if he ends up looking gullible. And you do ultimately want him to look gullible, but you don't want him to look like foolishly gullible. And so I just don't, you know, there's part of me that just sort of wants Randy to be a heel and be all in and do that for a long time and have there be a reason later that he turns. But I don't know. I mean,
I think the problem with that is the longer that he's with the Wyatts, I think it's the harder it is for them to not have him do exactly what you talked about, do something where he can't take it back, where he can't go back and turn babyface. So that's the risk. You've got to write it in a way where, you know, he's still the Viper and he still has this killer instinct, but yet he doesn't go over that line to where when he reveals it was all a plan, he can't go back.
Right, and that's my issue with if attacking Kane is all he does, how's Kane going to feel about it? You know, kicked the crap out of me to try to prove a point with Bray. You know, it just
for a good cause, hopefully he'll say.
Right, exactly. Dustin, anything else for us?
Yes. There's rumors also going around that there's a possibility that there's going to be a world championship match between Randy Orton and AJ Styles eventually. And do you think this would be the opportunity for Randy Orton to win the world championship from AJ Styles? Do you think that's the person that would beat AJ Styles for the world title?
Yeah, I don't think Randy's the guy to beat AJ. If Randy turns babyface, feuds with Bray, comes out of that with momentum, it makes sense for a babyface Randy to face a heel AJ to bridge the way to WrestleMania. But Greg, Randy is not the guy to be the SmackDown World Champion. His character's so cold.
No.
It's just no way. I mean, I would rather, in fact, I'd rather have Randy stay heel with Bray and have AJ turn babyface. I think that's better casting. The crowd, both nights in a row, totally pro AJ. I'm sure Vince McMahon doesn't mm-hmm. hear that at all, or he thinks they're still chanting for CM Punk's wife and just can't remember Roman's name, or they'd be chanting Roman's name. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Putting the belt on Orton would be such a WWE move that I would not rule it out in the least. But yeah, Styles, I mean, how do you take the belt off him at this point? Certainly, I think he's going to get past Ambrose. We've heard the Orton Styles rumors for a few months now. They're getting all they can out of Ambrose Styles, which is the smart move because they don't have a lot of really top babyface depth on SmackDown, because then you move from Ambrose to Orton. And then under that, you don't really have anything. So, you know, that leads us to wonder, what's the WrestleMania match going to be for Styles? Assuming he's champion at that point, are you going to try and stretch Orton out till that point so it's Styles-Orton?
I think they're going to try to go with AJ John Cena to see who the face who runs the place is. Unless,
yeah.
I mean, maybe they do it sooner at the Rumble or something like that. And then, yeah, then you have to wonder, who does AJ take on? I'll trade Cena AJ in a second for AJ against Shinsuke. Have Shinsuke come in at the Rumble, win the Rumble, come in as a baby face. AJ is a heel. I think AJ would actually get booed against Shinsuke. Because people who cheer AJ are going to just be thrilled to death that Shinsuke finally made it to the main roster and gets to co-headline Mania. And then you have Shinsuke go over and you make Shinsuke your Conor McGregor, that larger than life, unforgettable, charismatic, dominant personality who people can't take their eyes off of, whether they like the sport that he's in or not. And you mm-hmm. just go all in with somebody. They need to gamble with somebody as a difference maker, hoping somebody can be a difference maker right now to get subscriptions up. I mean, offering people 2.5 free months of WWE Network. What comes next? I mean, we're going to pay off your mortgage if you'll just watch WrestleMania next year. I mean, it's getting ridiculous.
And to me, Wade, SmackDown is the show you do take that gamble with. The Raw show, you've got such big personalities already on top with Kevin Owens and Jericho, and they're not going to let up on the Roman Reigns train, and Stephanie McMahon overshadows everybody. You don't want to throw a Shinsuke out there on Raw and have him sink or swim. SmackDown's the perfect show for a guy like him, or even if it's like a Samoa Joe or whomever you bring up from NXT who you really want to give that push to, maybe as a guy who faces AJ Styles, who you push right into the main event. SmackDown is the perfect show to do that on. So I really hope that it happens just, to freshen things up. And I hate to use that term, because we're only realistically, if we're looking long term, we're only a few months out from the brand split, the roster split. So
yeah.
to talk of the need to freshen things up already is sort of scary. But you do have these top names in Nakamura and Joe who are not getting any younger, who the tread on their tires is getting worn with every match. And, who, when it comes to Joe, after his rematch with Nakamura, has kind of done all he needs to do in NXT. There's opportunity on the main roster if WWE, can get behind somebody as the top guy coming from NXT who was made somewhere else. You know, they did it with Styles. Can they do it with a Joe? Can they do it with a Nakamura? I think they need to.
Well put. We're going to go to our bottom of the hour break here. When we come back, more phone calls. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Greg Parks, and we're talking SmackDown. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we're back. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget, you can find this show at PWTorchLivecast.com. That's the homepage for this podcast. PWTorchLivecast.com. Find out when the next show is scheduled to air. Stream the shows live from a link on the site. And catch up on episodes you missed either this week or in past months, including interviews you might have missed out on. Speaking of interviews, Sean X-Pac Waltman joins me at 1 Eastern this Thursday, continuing a stretch of great Interview Thursday episodes. Steve Austin was on the show 2 weeks ago. Nick Aldis Magnus was on the show last week. A lot of people talking about both of those interviews. Magnus Aldis especially provided some interesting insights into TNA, past and its future. His wife, Mickey James, showing up at NXT to take on Asuka this Saturday. And just really cool interview. He had a lot to say about a wide variety of topics. I definitely encourage you to check that out. All right. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Greg Parks is with me, who reports on SmackDown. You can find live at pwtorch.com every single Tuesday night. And we are taking your phone calls, 515-605-9345. Again, that's 515-605-9345. Let's go next to area code 201. You are up next. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Kareem from Jersey.
Kareem, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
Okay. After watching SmackDown, I think we could honestly just say SmackDown is just a better show than Raw. Just the way they go about the storylines, they make it so the 2 hours on SmackDown flies by. The way this show went by tonight absolutely flew by. It was a really, really good show, and they did a good job for their 900th episode. But the thing that I'm taking away from this, on Talking Smack, Daniel Bryan said he signed The Undertaker, so he said he signed the biggest free agent in WWE. I'm thinking that The Undertaker's back now for one full, like, last go-round, and what I'm thinking this leads to is somehow, you know, Vince is going to have Raw win the match on Sunday. Maybe that leads to some heat on AJ. Taker gets AJ at the Rumble. Maybe they put the belt on Taker, and then we get that Cena-Taker match for the belt at WrestleMania. That's just my fantasy booking with that.
Well, great. Let's pause you for a sec, if you got a minute. Greg, your reaction to that addresses two of the issues we talked about. What is the path of the title belt and AJ Styles between now and Mania? And it also addresses the Undertaker situation. Daniel Bryan saying he has signed him. He is now a SmackDown wrestler, perhaps wrestling quite often between now and Mania, or at least multiple times.
Yeah, as much as Taker says he doesn't want to be defined by WrestleMania, Cena Taker is still that one WrestleMania marquee match for Undertaker that's left. And, you know, you almost have to do it this year. You just don't know how many matches Taker has left in him. And that's why it's so hard to sit here in November and map out what's going to happen with him leading up to WrestleMania. You know, it wasn't that long ago that, and I know he said this before, but, you know, it was reported that he said WrestleMania was going to be his last match. And if that was his last match, he was okay with it. And, you know, the pictures circulated with him walking around with a cane. So, you know, the matches are certainly taking their toll on him. So is he a guy who can give you two matches between now and WrestleMania? Is he a guy who's only going to wrestle at WrestleMania? If so, that takes the title out of the equation. But I think that if you can do Undertaker Cena, and the title doesn't have to be on the line at WrestleMania, although it does solve the problem of finding an opponent for the title. You know, we were sitting here looking at AJ Styles and saying, okay, if he's still heel champion at WrestleMania, man, who's the babyface that he faces? You know, you could say John Cena, but I think John Cena versus Taker for the title has more appeal than Cena versus Styles again. So that would be intriguing. I think Cena versus Taker for the title or not at WrestleMania, if you're going to do Taker at Mania, is the way to go this year. But yeah, does he live up to his word that he gave tonight, that if SmackDown loses, you know, to paraphrase, I guess, there will be hell to pay? And does he come after AJ Styles, who is the captain of the team? If he's going to have a match between now and WrestleMania, I can't think of a better opponent for The Undertaker than AJ Styles.
I think AJ would be pretty excited about the prospects of that. I mean, win or lose. Yeah, win or lose, get
right.
in the ring with a legend like Taker.
Yeah, when he came into WWE, you know, if you'd asked him his top guys that he wanted to face, I'm sure Taker probably wouldn't have been on the list because he probably wouldn't have thought at that time maybe that was a realistic opponent for him. But now here we sit, and he just shared a ring with The Undertaker.
Although so did James Ellsworth.
Well, that's true. There's going to be a lot of people disappointed that we didn't get more of an interaction between Taker and Ellsworth. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Kareem, anything else for us?
The other thing is, they have to, based on what we got from Survivor Series last year, when we got Sting coming in, they have to kind of, the way they are selling Survivor Series and trying to make this such a big deal, we have to get a Samoa Joe or Nakamura debut on Survivor Series, don't we?
I don't think so. We've got Goldberg on there. You know, Survivor Series has kind of been the place. You know, The Rock came back and he did the tag match. Last year was Sting. We've got Goldberg versus Lesnar this year. I don't think there needs to be that debut that would kind of, I think, get overshadowed by Goldberg's return, get overshadowed by whatever happens in these Raw versus SmackDown matches. I think you kind of want to save that. I think there's a place for those guys on Raw or SmackDown, the Joes and the Nakamuras, as we talked about earlier. But I don't know if Survivor Series is the right place to do it.
Okay. All right. Those are just the things that were going through my head after watching this. But appreciate you guys. Great show. And I'll try to get back to you guys in another week.
Sounds great, Kareem. Thanks. Always good to get a talking smack update here mid-show as we continue to recap the main two-hour program on USA Network. Let's go next to Adrian from Aurora, Illinois. Adrian, thanks for calling. What have you got for us today?
Good show, guys. Was a pretty interesting show this evening, to say the least. Like seeing The Undertaker back again. I like the idea of Undertaker versus Cena at WrestleMania. They don't need the belt at all for that. That could just be almost like a passing of the torch type of thing. If they make this Taker's last one, officially Cena's probably the only person that could really get anything out of really beating Undertaker because it didn't really work for Brock. He was already pretty much a big star anyway. And really there's nobody else on the roster, I think, outside of maybe AJ that could probably work that match with him, I guess, too, maybe. But you guys are talking about Nakamura, too. I personally like Nakamura. I'm afraid what they would do with him if he did get up here.
How could you not have faith after how well they've handled Tyler Breeze and Bayley? And I mean, yeah, exactly.
Apollo, you know, I'm afraid, Wade, I'm afraid that he's going to be in the back with a bunch of other Asian people cutting off somebody's pee-pee or whatever, because that's really how they view people of that ethnicity. For the most part, they, you know, put him in dumb skits and stuff like that when he actually is a great star, and he would do tremendous on Raw. But they haven't proven that they can really get anybody over, nor have they shown that they want to get anybody over. So I don't want to see him up there, to be quite honest, but he's not doing anything in NXT either. So it's just kind of, you know, sucks either way. But overall, I'm looking forward to this weekend to watch and see how things unfold. It's not really worth getting upset about anything or, you know, wondering why things aren't going the way I think they should go. This is how they want to do it. They can either watch it or just not watch it. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. But I enjoyed the show this evening for what it was worth, and seeing King Booker was interesting, and that's pretty much all I got.
That's awesome. Thanks, Adrian. Appreciate the comments. Greg, I saw some compliments for the King Booker segment. Curious your thoughts on what he did there.
Yeah, I think you run into the situation again that we saw with the women. You know, you had the Usos there in the backstage segment next to American Alpha, who they viciously attacked Chad Gable and put him on the shelf,
yes.
Cost American Alpha a shot in a tag title tournament. And they're sitting there with them, big smiles on their faces, listening to King Booker, going along with everybody, chanting for King Booker by the end of the segment. I think you run into the same situation that you ran into with the women later on in the show.
I'm glad you brought that up, absolutely positively was a negative. The Usos, I mean, they did their dive. You know, Morrow was even like, the Usos going back in time to do a babyface move, essentially, you know, what he said. I mean, the announcers are in an awkward position. The wrestlers are in an awkward position. And having the Usos and American Alpha chanting for all hell King Booker or whatever it was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm but other than that, great segment.
yes, exactly. All right, let's go next to Lee from Buffalo, New York. Lee, thanks for calling. What do you got for us today?
Hi, yeah, I was just calling. I really didn't get the Undertaker segment today. I think it was a really weird use of the capital. You have Undertaker for, you know, X number of appearances per year, and he's there to tell everyone that he really, really cares about what happens at Survivor Series because he's a SmackDown guy. It just didn't make any sense to me. Why, you know, he's saying, I don't want to be defined by WrestleMania. It just logically doesn't make any sense. It's like, I mean, this hurts for me because I'm from Buffalo, but it would be like the Buffalo Bills from the early 90s saying, like, the AFC, you know, was good enough. You know, SmackDown is not the premier event or even brand. It's WrestleMania and Raw. I don't believe the motivation in that character at all. Wondering your comments on that.
Greg?
I think it was probably purposefully vague with what he said. They probably got into a situation where, look, The Undertaker was on because it was the 900th episode of Raw. Same reason Edge was on. If this wasn't the 900th episode of Raw, I don't think we would have seen Undertaker show up to give a pep talk to the SmackDown team. I don't think that would have happened. But because they advertised him ahead of time, probably before they had any idea of how they were going to use him, they needed to figure something out. And, you know, somebody probably thought, hey, you know, Taker's been a SmackDown guy. We're trying to establish this brand warfare between SmackDown and Raw. Undertaker is as associated with SmackDown during its run as Greg Parks, who's been doing this for almost 10 years. So why not bring him out and, you know, let him say a few words and really, I mean, that's something, you know, it's something the announcers can talk about at Survivor Series. Well, the Undertaker tried to, you know, give a speech to the team SmackDown, and if they lose, oh, they could be in a bad way. So it's another talking point that the announcers can use at Survivor Series during the match. Ultimately, it may not mean a whole lot, but again, it could. It was really a lot of gray area that Undertaker covered there.
And I didn't get it.
Yeah, and I think part of, you know, you say, well, it doesn't make sense. And I'm like, well, it doesn't make sense, but it would not make sense to make Undertaker the exception of things that don't make sense. In other words, if the narrative is brand loyalty and brand identity counts, and Edge is known as a SmackDown guy, Undertaker known partially as a SmackDown guy, I mean, more than Raw, and he's been kind of their go-to guy to be the identity of the brand for long stretches of time for SmackDown. So if they're going to do the brand loyalty angle, it wouldn't make sense to not have Undertaker do it, even if none of it makes sense. And I know that sounds strange, but that's the kind of logic that we are forced to deal with, given what WWE has done with the Survivor Series hype.
Right.
So there. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, we are all kind of shaking our heads trying to make sense of this. But go ahead with what else you have to say.
Oh, I'm not a big UFC guy, but I think every single person in WWE needs to watch Conor McGregor's post-fight interview as far as motivation and, you know, just how to cut a good promo, because I watched that and I could not believe how well he promoted the product, how he interacted with management. I thought it was just absolutely brilliant. So I wish wrestling was more like that.
I do too. I did a whole Wade Keller hotline for VIP members on Saturday night, making that exact point for 10 minutes and explaining multiple ways what you said and other aspects of what Connor did that pro wrestling can learn from. I even talked more about it in the Q&A version of the Wade Keller hotline the next day, where I got a question about it too. You're totally right, Lee. I mean, Greg, pro wrestling is a simulated emulation of combat sports, whether it's boxing or whatever. the show is presented inconsistently such, but it is structurally meant to be a staging of combat fights, and they do such a terrible, negligent job of emulating that actual core of what their product is. I mean, they seem resistant to it. I can't imagine somebody deciding, hey, let's do a movie on baseball, but you know what? People will think we're trying to trick them into thinking it's a real game if we use a real baseball. So let's not actually use the baseball, because we don't want to insult people's intelligence. I mean, if we have a movie about baseball, people will think we're trying to trick them into thinking that what we're doing is real and not a bunch of actors. So, in fact, not only let's not use a baseball, but let's not, when the players come out, like, let's not have them actually hit the ball for real when they run the bases, and let's make sure that everybody knows we're all friends, that the people who are feuding in the movie are friends, by indiscriminately and randomly showing players from rival teams just going out to dinner and having a good time, but then pretending to really hate each other during the game. That'll make sure we're not
even insulting
our audience. Yeah, and let's call it sports base running, or, you know, whatever. Stupid. It's just they need to embrace what they are and stop having the self-loathing about what they are, and drop the whole insecurity over what their perception was of that people thought about them in the 80s and 70s, and just understand they've had 30 years to define the sport, to define the entity, the genre, what it is. They've had all this time to define it. They are the definition of it. Now embrace what it is and do what will draw the most money, not what you're worried about some corporate sponsor thinking you're trying to do to trick people into thinking it's real.
Yeah, Wade, I love your analogies. They're so fun. And, you know, the whole thing with Conor McGregor is he was not scripted to say any of those things. So it's a lot easier to have a good promo when you're not scripted. But WWE,
wouldn't it have been better, Greg? It's rude for me to interrupt, but I have to ask you this question. It's very pertinent. Wouldn't Conor McGregor's promo have been better with a pop culture reference like Miley Cyrus or Lady Gaga? Wouldn't that have really? Because really, Greg, I think one thing that people thought about at UFC 205 is that it's not connected enough with popular culture and entertainment trends. And I think the new owners need to take a good hard look at the fact that a lot of people watch that show and were just shaking their head, going, "Yeah, I watched this, but it just doesn't feel connected enough to me to what I'm reading in entertainment and music magazines." I think we need to take a moment to give UFC some advice in this regard, especially Conor McGregor, who clearly is oblivious to the genius of WWE's scripting of their promos that we saw last night on Raw.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, the whole idea is to be above that and to be like what other people are referencing when they're making pop culture references.
The celebrities are in the crowd watching you.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not in the ring.
You're the pop culture.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
So, you know, but see, WWE and Vince McMahon, they need that control. You know, I think that's a big part of it that gets lost when we're talking about scripted promos. Yes, WWE wants to appear Hollywood. Yes, they want to get in all these pop culture references. And yes, they want these guys to reference the WWE Network and all this stuff. But Vince McMahon, if you look at every aspect of his life and every aspect of how he runs his business, it is about his control. And scripting the promos is another branch of that control. So yes, it's WWE wanting to hire these script writers from Hollywood to make them really truly feel like an episodic weekly show or whatever that they tout, but it's also Vince having control over these wrestlers, and, you know, even to the point of controlling what they say out there on his television show.
Well put, Greg. I mentioned VIP. We do have a sale going on right now. Been a while since we've had a sale. It's $8 off a 1-month subscription. And all you have to do is go to pwtorch.com/govip and then enter coupon code GOVIP16. That's a coupon code if you want to get $8 off any VIP online subscription, 1 month, 3 months, or 12 months. Take $8 off when you enter coupon code GOVIP16. And the place to go for that is pwtorch.com/govip. Sign up is mobile friendly. It takes about 2 minutes to sign up. And for $2, you get to see everything that we do for the next month for VIP members, plus gain instant access to our unmatched insider archives of back issues, of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter dating back to the late 1980s, covering on a weekly basis every major story, every major match, every major pay-per-view, backstage little details that you won't have read or heard anywhere else, and exclusive columns and Torch Talk interviews of some of pro wrestling's biggest names. Get lost in our archives. Learn more than you knew there was to learn about the inner workings of professional wrestling over the past three decades. And get podcast access to our VIP podcasts through iTunes and popular podcast apps. When you go VIP, yes, everything we do for VIP members is accessible from an audio standpoint through popular podcast apps on iPhone, Android devices, and iTunes. You can also stream or download directly from our ad-free VIP website. All the content that's on pwtorch.com at mobile and desktop, all that content is mirror imaged on our ad-free VIP exclusive website when you're a VIP member. So no ads, fast loading, cool format, and access to a ton of exclusive content, the new weekly newsletter each week, new columns, and more. So much. It's hard to fit it all into a plug, but you can read bullet point details of what comes with the membership and also VIP member testimonials if you're looking for a little extra nudge and a reassurance that this is a service worth paying for. Go to pwtorch.com/govip. We'd love to have you as a member, and you'll be on board in time for our post-Survivor Series roundtable. It is a VIP exclusive feature after every major pay-per-view, and that goes live for VIP members, available on the site on Sunday nights. So many reasons to go VIP. Check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. Coupon code GOVIP16. Greg, your overall grade for the Survivor Series hype on all shows, all things considered. We are in the home stretch, including what they've done with Goldberg and Lesnar. We had a video package tonight, but obviously that is a Raw-centric angle, given that Lesnar's home team is Raw. But your thoughts overall? It seems like mostly a one-match show, but did WWE do enough, or did they actually do damage in trying to promote the undercard tag matches along the way?
I would give the overall grade maybe a C. I think that they did what they could with Goldberg Lesnar. There's not really a deep story there. Yes, they had one match, but certainly the circumstances around that match, I don't know that WWE wants to delve too much into, given what actually happened in the match and what happened subsequently with both guys leaving the company. So certainly Goldberg's return on its own is a big deal. You pair that with taking on Lesnar and the train wreck possibilities that come with that match. They sort of done what they could with both guys' limited appearances. You almost have to grade it on a curve, accepting that the storyline behind Raw and SmackDown, I guess if you go in with the idea that, okay, we're supposed to expect that there's some sort of brand loyalty for some reason between these brands. And if you go in with that in mind, I think the hype was okay. They did a little too much of the, because all the baby faces and heels are on one team, they can't get along storyline. Once you've seen it once, you've seen it, it seems like, four times. I get that there are heels and baby faces on each team, and they shouldn't just automatically get along for the sake of the brand. But if that's the case where you have to do four basic storylines where the teams aren't getting along, then don't book it that way in the first place. It's basically that simple, but they sort of booked themselves into a corner because they wanted all their big stars in these matches. So, you have the infighting on every team, and that's the dominant story on both shows going into the show. I think the one thing that we haven't touched on here tonight is the ramifications of The Miz beating Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship tonight, and thus getting Ziggler's spot in the match on Sunday against Sami Zayn. So the Intercontinental title, the way it was discussed, although I don't know, maybe they've made it clear, maybe they haven't, that if Sami Zayn wins, the IC title becomes property of Raw. But that's a big change to the card only a few days out now, with The Miz as Intercontinental Champion taking on Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I mean, certainly with the advertising that the Cruiserweight division could come to SmackDown, mm-hmm. if Kalisto wins, and they give Kalisto a squash match victory tonight to try to build him up a little bit leading to that. it makes sense for the SmackDown, for the Cruiserweights to move to SmackDown with 205 Live debuting. Is it next? Yeah, I think it's next Tuesday. So that makes sense. So maybe the trade is, well, then they move the IC title over to Raw, but then you have the US and IC title both on Raw, which feels redundant. But I do like the idea of Sami Zayn with a secondary title to try to give him something that defines him. Whoever wrote his promo last night needs to actually watch some NXT and figure out what the voice of Sami Zayn is, because they did as bad a job writing Sami Zayn's promo last night as they did scripting Bayley to do a gang style attack beat down a Nikki Bella tonight. I mean, it's just he was mean spirited and nasty, and it fits certain baby faces, but it's not the tone that he'd be taking, critiquing, you know, Ziggler's attire and calling him a poison band. It's just not Sami Zayn's character. That's a Kevin Owens line. But nevertheless, with that sidebar, that sidebar being what it is, the IC title situation did change things. I'm hoping, part of me just kind of hopes Miz retains and that IC belt stays on SmackDown, but this leads to Ziggler turning heel, because they've done a terrible job since he won the IC title, turning that into some sort of momentum gainer for him. And I could see this loss being a breaking point for him to just decide, if I can't beat him, join him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I can't believe they took the title off himself. I was shocked that he lost tonight. You know, you talked about how he didn't really have that momentum coming off the win, but, you know, they spent so much time saying, you know, this was going to be a stepping stone for Ziggler. He finally got that monkey off his back. He won the big one. And then, you know, a month or two later, he loses it back to The Miz. I mean, it feels like now, you know, if you're riding an elevator up, he suddenly falls to the ground floor again. And it's almost like he has to start all over again. And where do you go with this character now? That's the thing. You spent all this time telling the story of how down and out he was, then having him win, and a month later have him lose it back. I mean,
all right, here's what he needs to do.
I don't really know where you go.
He needs to do what Frankie Edgar's thinking of doing, speaking of USC, and drop down a weight division. Let's drop some weight. Let's join 205 Live and be one of the bigger guys on the brand, a heel, and get a fresh start in the cruiserweight division.
Man, that's, how much weight would he have to drop? What do you think he is right now?
I don't know. I don't think he's that tall. I mean, half the guys who are listed at 205 are like 140. So, I mean, it's more how does he look next to the wrestlers who are actually built that way. But, I mean, I don't think he's that much different in height than Cedric Alexander. And, you know, they talk about Cedric Alexander cutting weight to make the cruiserweights. But, I mean, I agree. I mean, it'd be tough. I mean, he'd have to look like that the 205 was legit relative to others who are billed at around 205. He'd definitely have to lose weight. I have to admit, I was being somewhat facetious with it and floating the idea of the possibility, but I think it's kind of what it might take for Ziggler to get a fresh start, because, I mean, how do you cheer for a guy who keeps proving to be a loser? And that's where I think he almost has to turn because of this.
Yeah, they rode in a couple outs. They had the Spirit Squad. He fought them off. They had Maurice contribute to the win by pushing the inside cradle so that Miz was pinning Ziggler. But at some point, the fans have to just throw up their hands and say, well, I'm done with this guy.
That's kind of how I feel. All right, Greg, thanks so much for joining me today. Appreciate you co-hosting, and I appreciate the callers. Join us tomorrow at 1 Eastern for the Midweek Flagship, and then Interview Thursday with Sean Waltman. Looking forward to that, as always. Sean, always a great guest on the program. Greg, how can people follow you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter at Greg M. Parks, and, of course, I have a column in the newsletter every week. I had one last week about Taz on his radio show listed his top 10 promos in wrestling right now. And I kind of took a look at that list and gave my own thoughts on where I would maybe disagree with him and who I might insert into that spot. So that's out now in the latest edition of the Torch newsletter.
Excellent. Appreciate it. That's Greg Parks. Check out his recap and review of SmackDown right now at pwtorch.com, or if you're a VIP member, ad-free at pwtorchvip.com. A lot of cool stuff up on pwtorch.com this week, including some excerpts of that Stone Cold Steve Austin interview talking about Goldberg and Lesnar from a variety of angles. Also, Mike Keller's take on Joey Styles being fired from the Flow Slam Evolve promotion after what he said on this weekend's live streaming telecast. A lot of controversy, a lot of strong opinions on that. And I tried to cut through and cut through a lot of the nonsense and irrelevancies and frame what matters most in this situation. Also, what's next for Shawn Michaels in January, and some sad medical news from Leon White through Twitter. The latest mega offer from WWE regarding trying to get subscribers back. Plus, our 10 years ago SmackDown hit list. What was going on 10 years ago on SmackDown that we were giving praise to or criticizing involving Rey Mysterio, Brian Kendrick, Teddy Long, Kane, MVP, William Regal, and more. We've also got Magic Memories and Mania up on PWTorch.com with a column comparing Goldberg and Ultimate Warrior in multiple categories. Sean Valentino, longtime contributor to PW Torch website, reviews the entrance, the music, the look, the promos, professionalism behind the scenes, matches, charisma, mainstream popularity and icon status, drawing ability, and overall character presentation. How do they compare to one another? Plus, tons of results from WWE's Europe tour and so much more. New content you will not find anywhere else. We don't have just the same news you find on any of three or four other websites out there. Exclusive, unique content at PW Torch. It should be one of the two or three wrestling websites that you visit on a daily basis. Less redundancy, more original content. Check it out. Updated every day, pwtorch.com. Even better, go VIP. As I mentioned earlier, the coupon code right now. It's a great deal. 80% off a one-month subscription. Take $8 off a one-month subscription, normally $10. Get it for just $2. $2 is all it takes to find out what all the fuss is about. Come on and join the VIP site and get access to our three decades of archives and our new daily content that's VIP exclusive. Not just a live cast. I do a hotline every day and host about 4 to 6 hours of other audio every week with top analysts who are exclusive to the Torch. So check that all out. The coupon code that I mentioned, if you want to get that $8 off, is GoVIP16. One word, GoVIP16. John Arezzi co-hosted the live cast yesterday following Raw. John Arezzi was a host of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show from the late 80s through the mid 90s. Some fascinating content right now during the tumultuous WWF steroid scandals and sex scandals. And a lot of salacious allegations. Vince McMahon ended up paying a big price where he got indicted by the federal government on steroid distribution charges. And we've got real-time radio shows from that era, from John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight, that are VIP exclusive for VIP members. There's a upcoming Pro Wrestling Spotlight coming up in the next few days that will go up for the first time, heard for the first time ever since it aired on New York radio back in 1992. Featuring John Arezzi as host, and his guests were Dave Meltzer and me discussed what was going on in WWE and the lead up to WrestleMania and a lot of cool stuff. So really cool reason to go VIP is just to hear some of the same voices that you hear on this show talk about wrestling from a decade or 2.5 decades ago, and some of the same names: Undertaker, Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon, still in the news. So check that out. Here's some details on those retro radio shows. And again, go to pwtorch.com/govip. Coupon code GOVIP16 is a way to get $8 off. Here's details on those radio shows. As a PW Torch livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch livecast Saturday morning wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big name interviews, guest analysts including me on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here at the PW Torch Livecast. Follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. Follow me on follow our brand, excuse me, at PW Torch, and also our sister brand at MMA Torch. Tons of 205 coverage and fallout at MMATorch.com right now. Check it out. It's mobile-friendly, desktop-friendly. Absolutely worth a visit if you're a UFC fan to read what our team is reporting on and opining about regarding UFC 205 and the fallout. Check that out right now, MMATorch.com. Thanks, everybody. Until tomorrow, Wade Keller signing off. Live!